Now, one in three of us in the southeast believe that single people and gay couples should not be allowed to adopt. That's according to a survey from the children's charity Action for Children. The charity found that 8 out of 10 of all those who thought that gay couples or single people shouldn't be allowed to adopt said it was because they thought children needed both a male and a female role model. Meanwhile, another 8 out of 10 felt it would lead to the traditional breakdown of the family and would not be in the best interests of the child. But that's not the general views of these people we spoke to in Dover.
I think it's fine. Everyone's got a right to bring up a child. Just because they can't conceive doesn't mean they can't love a child.
My son's gay, his partner is brilliant, and they love children. They have thought about it, but that's as far as it's gone.
The people that have children naturally aren't perfect parents, so why should adopted parents be perfect?
Don't agree with it, really. Don't think it's right.
If they're in a permanent situation, and if they're vetted, I don't see why they shouldn't have children.
Well, Anissa de Jong from East Kent adopted a little girl just over a year ago with her partner, Sureya. Anissa, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Was it difficult?
To go through the adoption process is quite a challenge for anyone, I think, but it's amazing and it's great to have her. So.
Was it made any more difficult for you because you were a gay couple?
I have to say that we were assessed by Kent County Council and we had a really good experience with them, and I'd really say to any gay or lesbian adopters or thinking about adoption to give it a shot and go to the open day in Maidstone and have a think about it, because we've had a great experience with them. We have encountered some hesitations with social workers, people not being sure, and once it came to the stage where we were getting matched with children, that we felt sometimes we had to explain ourselves a bit more than maybe other people did. But in the end, we did get matched within a year, and we're having a great family now.
Yeah, that's great. I suppose I was quite surprised by the little sort of vox we did, little interviews in the street, that the majority of people seem to have a problem with it, the people we spoke to, although, according to those figures, 8 out of 10 do. But were you surprised by those interviews we ran?
I'm not surprised. I thought you said 1 out of 3 thought it was it was not okay. So 2 out of 3 still think
that
it's okay. But I think I'm not so much surprised. I think it reflects what other opinions there are around about gay and lesbian people. But the problem is that often those beliefs and values are based on people's own ideas that circulate rather than on their personal experiences of gay and lesbian people or gay and lesbian families. And if that happened a bit more, then maybe those opinions would be different as well.
Well, Carol Buckley is also with us. She's the adoption manager in the southeast for the charity Action for Children. Carol, good morning.
Good morning.
Were you surprised by the little interviews we did?
Well, I was quite surprised, but also very pleased, because as I think you know from the information we sent you, I mean, our aim is to recruit the right families, and right doesn't necessarily mean any particular style of family or a makeup of family. It's the children's interests that we are focusing on.
I suppose the other thing that came to mind this morning with the dreadful case of baby P yesterday, you have to say she would have been much better off with a gay, lesbian or single couple than she was with the parents that she was with.
Well, I mean, obviously it's difficult for me to comment on a case that's in the news, but I mean, you made the point earlier that, or one of your interviewees made the point that, you know, people have their own birth children and they may or may not be good enough parents. When we assess adopters, be they gay, straight, single, in partnerships, married, they're all subject to a very rigorous and robust assessment process. And, you know, your adopter that you just spoke to, I mean, I was pleased and interested to hear what she said, because that would reflect the comments we've had from some of our lesbian couple adopters, for instance, that, you know, whilst the process is fine to some extent, there is prejudice you meet, even, you know, with some social workers wanting to place. And you know, the very point you brought up, talking about need a role, male and female role model.
Yes, well, I was going to, Anissa,
social workers wanting to place.
So that the point made that a male role model is important for a child's upbringing. Do you, first of all, agree with that? And is there anything you do to try and give your child some male role models?
Yes, I do agree.
Hang on, Carol. Just hang on, Carol. I'll come to you in a minute. But Anissa, first of all, did you?
Well, I think that it's important to remember that children don't just grow up with their parents in and locked up in the house. They grow up in a bigger society, in a bigger family. They've got grandparents,
yeah,
uncles, aunts, friends. I think that research that has happened in the past shows that children growing up with gay and lesbian parents are just as aware about their own gender and are not no different to other boys and girls. Also, I think that sometimes the stress on this male and female role models is a little bit too much, and I know it happens within social services as well and people placing children, and it almost sometimes feels like we have to think about men and women as different species, and yeah, as if they really are so essentially intrinsically different. And, you know, of course it's important children are exposed to all kinds of people, whether that's people of different genders, but also people of culture with cultural, yeah, differences, racial differences.
Just having a mixed bag.
All sorts of, yeah, people, yeah, that you want a child to grow up with and be aware of diversity and be able to choose what fits with their own identity from that.
Yeah,
and,
okay. Yeah. Carol, would you, yeah, like to just add something to that?
Yes, I mean, we know, I think we're your a doctor there and myself are saying more or less the same things. I mean, when we do an assessment, we don't just look at the family, be it a single person or a couple. And we look at their extended family, their friends, their support, really, because support is an important part of adoption, you know, taking on a child or children from scratch who have got troubled pasts is not an easy task. So we always look at the wider family in any family we're assessing. And I would largely agree that children do need male and female role models, but there are some children that actually... you know, I can think of times when we've placed with single women, and because of the paths of those girls particularly, they have blossomed being in an all-female household. Mm. Obviously, with males in the extended friend
Absolutely.
And family network.
Good to talk to you. Thank you very much. Carol Buckley is the adoption manager in the South East for the charity Action for Children. And we also heard from Anissa de Jong from East Kent, who adopted a little girl with her partner just over a year ago. If you've got comments on this, we'd love to hear from you. 08459 811 111. It'll probably get the phones going this morning. But give us a call or an email, john.warnett@bbc.co.uk.